send us men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. Several weeks ago, I put one of our brothers on the prayer list and asked you to pray for him. Pray for strength, pray for provision, for wisdom, for guidance. And now, not only is he going through one trial, but one has now become two. And one is what the world calls, quote, civil. And if that's not bad enough, now, because the demons and devils, which are actually real living people, they're not spirit beings flying around on broomsticks and making people speak with scary voices. But they're wicked people. There's pure evil in their pursuits to attack people trying to live according to biblical principles through their evil, cunning devices. And they know how to turn the right buttons within their ungodly system in order to destroy God's people. And he's now been put out of his home. He's living in a camper in the woods with no water, with some heat, and alienated from his children with threats of felonies if he has contact with his own children. And all of this is just pure insanity, but it's real, and it's going on right now, and I want to make sure that all of you are keeping him in your prayers. And though I believe what is going on should not be happening, even in their ungodly world, then you need to realize that some of this is actually self-inflicted. Okay, this did not need to end up the way it's going. But there's a reason why it's going on. And ultimately, and this man knows this, but it's happening because the marriage was not built on a biblical foundation, but rather with an entanglement with the ungodly state. And friends, there are tremendous lessons to learn here, so that you younger people will not make the same mistakes that the older ones have made. When the older people finally realize what the consequences are for their horrible choices, sometimes it makes things so deep and so thick that they almost feel as if there's no way out. But I will assure you, though, I don't care what your age is. I don't care how deep you are in. There is a way out for everyone. There's always a way out when we choose to follow the great shepherd out of the sheepfold, which is the world. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be painful, because I believe from everything that I've seen in my many years, I mean, the older someone is, I mean, the more entangled they have allowed themselves to get, I mean, the more painful it can be to follow the shepherd. But listen, when someone is a true follower of Jesus Christ, one way or another, they will come out of the world. They will either do it voluntarily, which I believe is way easier, or they will do it through great tribulation. But rest assured, if someone is a true follower of Jesus Christ, they will come out of the world, and the potential for persecution in doing so is going to be great. I was telling a good friend of mine this past week that, and all of you know this, I mean, I love music. I love good music. I love harmony. I love good instrumentals. I just love good music. And I crave music that is Christ-centered. And even though, quote, church music is not about the Jesus Christ of the Bible, I mean, sometimes they do actually produce songs that can actually be tolerated and even enjoyed. maybe about 1 out of 100 or so, or maybe even a higher percentage, lower percentage than that, but especially if it's old hymns. But, you know, sometimes they manage to get some things right. But when I hear some of the modern stuff and it's about trials and tribulations, I mean, it actually gets me riled up. And I usually let everyone around me that's also listening, I let them know how disgusted I am when I hear modern church people sing songs about trials. I mean, the modern, quote, church and the church men know absolutely nothing about trials. There isn't 1 out of 100 million of them that have ever even been on trial because of Jesus Christ. And the stinking church and their lying church men, I mean, rarely ever have conflict with men's governments that would end up having them, one of them, on trial for the Bible. Friends, Jesus Christ was executed by the state. Jesus Christ was considered a common criminal hung between two thieves. The disciples were in and out of jail on a regular basis. The true followers of Jesus Christ cannot help but have run-ins with men's little g, quote, governments. Following the Bible and following men just doesn't happen. It never has, not since the beginning of time. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of men who chose to follow God or follow Christ, and they were persecuted. Yet in the U.S., with thousands and thousands of so-called, quote, pastors. I mean, what a joke, pastors. I mean, do you realize the word only appears one time in the last 27 books of our Bibles? One time. It's in there once. You know, this is something else that we need to examine in light of the Scriptures, and of course, we're going to find out that what is passed off as, quote, pastors today, it resembles absolutely nothing of what's contained in the Scriptures. But thousands and thousands of them today masquerading themselves as if they have authority to do anything. Yet not a handful, not even enough to know about, has ever faced a trial for living the way Jesus Christ said that we're supposed to live. That's because the, quote, church and the churchmen demand a lifestyle that conforms to the, quote, laws of the state, as opposed to a lifestyle that conforms to the laws of God. I want you to take a quick look this morning at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I started out just a few minutes ago addressing the young people, imploring them not to make the same mistakes that the older generation has made. You know, the books of Timothy, they don't tell us exactly how old Timothy was, but all throughout the books, you know, Paul calls him son. At one point, Paul tells Timothy not to let anyone despise his youth. You know, Mr. Thayer says this about the Greek word for youth from 1 Timothy 4:12. He says that from Homer down, that it's youth, a youthful age, from my boyhood, from my youth. And then he cites some other biblical verses as well. But from this, I don't think that we're in error to think that Timothy had maybe not even reached adulthood. But either way, whether that's correct or not, doesn't matter. The reality is that Timothy was young. And there is great wisdom from 2 Timothy chapter 2 that our young people need to grasp a hold of. I know in my own life, you know, these verses got a hold of me at age 20, give or take a year, one way or another. And I believe these verses have kept me on the path of following Jesus Christ, and I'm also grateful that I learned it very, very young. In verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, one of the things that I think many Christians, and even true Christians, don't really grasp is that we're in a war. There has been a war raging between the forces of good and the forces of evil all the way back since time began. I mean, don't ask me why. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why God didn't create some utopia for his creation to live in. You know, we could all probably sit around and discuss and muse and ponder an answer to that question. But the reality is he didn't create a utopia. He didn't create a world where the good guys always win and the bad guys always lose. You know, I don't get it. But the sooner we realize that things are the way they are, well, because, and this is deep now, but because that's the way it is. And it's our job as followers of Christ to be overcomers. It's our job to overcome the world. It's our job to overcome evil. It's our job to overcome the attacks against the kingdom of God, against the government of God. Realizing that in Christ, we are to be overcomers now in this present world. No need to whine about it. There's no need to whine about the way things are. There's no need to cry and complain about the bad guys always seeming to get their way. Our job is to follow Christ, put our nose to the grindstone, commit our way and our life to following Christ, and the rest of the world can go kick stones. Okay, we're going to follow Christ because that's what we're supposed to do. Yes, we live in a wicked world. Yes, we live in a world that praises evil and punishes good. But we're to follow Christ no matter what the rest of the world does. We're in a war. That's the way it is. And you know what? It's not so much that we have declared war on the world. I mean, most of us would just prefer to be left alone to live peacefully according to the scriptures. But the world can't stand that. It's the world that has the bigger problem with us than we have with them. And we know how wicked they are. We know how they prefer to lie instead of tell the truth. We know how they prefer their, quote, laws and statutes over God's. We know what they're about. Hey, we aren't the ones who have declared war on them. They have declared war on us. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are in a war. War has been declared on you just like it was declared on Jesus Christ and every other Bible character found in the book. So go on. Just accept it. Be prepared to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, knowing that we're in this war, a war not even of our own choosing, but a war that in many ways is a war of defense. Now, don't misunderstand me. I mean, we have offensive weapons that we are to equip ourselves with. And the reality is, I believe there are weapons at our disposal that we're not using, mainly for lack of knowledge. But for the most part, and for this morning, we're talking about defensive strategies, okay? I want you to look now at verse 4. This is the verse that has guided me for nearly 40 years or more. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may choose him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Friends, this needs to sink in. We need to understand this principle of not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. I mean, what does this mean? In a practical sense, how do we apply this in our lives, especially as young people starting out in life? Well, several weeks ago, we spent two messages on debt and what happens to people who go into debt. It's an entanglement. It's being involved in things that pull you away from the teachings of the Bible. Debt is entangling yourself in the affairs of this life. Okay, let's talk about something else specifically. Of course, you know where I'm heading. I mean, we should have no entanglements with men's little g, quote, governments. But marriage license, okay, for someone, anyone, not just a follower of Christ, but for anyone to seek out and obtain a marriage license, they have entangled themselves in one of the worst ways possible by making the state a part of the contract between a man and a woman. Now, I said anyone. Not just a follower of Christ, but let's narrow down the focus, okay? We can't control what the world does. We can and better be controlling what we do. No true follower of Jesus Christ should have a marriage license. The marriage license instantly creates an adulterous situation. It creates a situation where three people are in the same bed at the same time, the man, the woman, and the state. And in this adulterous marriage, The deceived man and woman think, they think that they're in charge of the marriage, and nothing is further from the truth. I've told you before how that in the early 1980s, the Indiana Supreme Court came out with a decision that said, quote, marriage is a partnership. Okay, divide 100% by three and see what you get. You get 33%, 33%, and 34%. And the 34% is the controlling interest in the partnership. Hence, the man is 33%. The woman is 33%. That's what their, quote, court said. And they have an equal partnership. But the problem is 33% and 33% leaves 34%, and that 34% belongs to the state. The state has the controlling interest. Now, as long as the two 33%ers are happy with each other, okay, the state's going to kind of be more of a silent partner. And that is, too, as long as the 33%ers abide by the state. But the second things begin to go awry, the 34% steps in and shows who is really the boss of the partnership. And if there are children involved, the state will decide what happens to the children. If there's property involved, the state will decide what happens to the property. The state shows who the controlling interest is. Right, wrong, or indifferent, the state is the one in charge. What if? And this is just a purely hypothetical situation, okay? What if there are two people who are in a state-sanctioned marriage, and I mean one with a marriage license, and one of the people, say in this example, say the wife is unfaithful to the husband. The wife has physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually left her husband and wants a divorce. The wife has even committed physical adultery. The wife has even done things that amounts to stealing from her husband, taking from her family, among other just very despicable things. Well, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world where if a woman commits adultery, steals from her husband, lies to her husband, tries to turn the man's children against him, well, in the world as it is today, those things are not, quote, illegal. And 99 times out of 100, when marriages like this end up in court, the wicked woman will just about every single time prevail against the man. And that is mainly because their world is ran by lots and lots of Jezebels, just like in the Bible. Say the husband in this hypothetical situation doesn't want the divorce. Okay, even though the woman has done all sorts of despicable things, but the husband wants reconciliation. Hey, the husband desires for the wife to be saved, to be born again, to have her sins forgiven, and for the family to be preserved. Well, in their world, if the husband wants to fight for his marriage and fight against the divorce, well, more than likely, the state will come against this man with all its might and power. It's not authority. It's not God-given authority. It's just purely power. It's gun power, physical might. And they'll do just about everything it can to make sure the husband is destroyed. Well, as much pity and compassion as we could muster for the man, the sad reality is there's a marriage license. There's an entanglement, which at the beginning certainly seemed benign. It seemed harmless. But the reality is the entanglement was with a wild beast just waiting to be unleashed, to destroy anything and anyone that it might get its teeth into. God knows that entanglements with the world will not end well. That's why God had Paul write what he did to Timothy. You're in a war, Timothy. You've been chosen to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Mr. Thayer describes affairs this way. It's pragmatia. It says, prosecution of any affair, business, occupation, plural with the addition of, and he cites another Greek word, pursuits and occupations pertaining to civil life opposed to warfare. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines entanglement this way, a confused or disordered state, intricacy, perplexity. Okay, examine marriages in the Bible. Okay, they were exclusively family matters. They usually involved the fathers of the prospective spouses and, of course, the spouses themselves. But they were not these complex, intricate arrangements that involved the state with all their millions of, quote, laws and statutes governing the marriage. A few weeks ago, I saw a headline that caught my attention. I saved it, maybe just for this moment. But the headline says, "Lawyer says biggest takeaway from family law is marriage is made up. Why get married?" This is from November 17, 2022. A former lawyer believes that, quote, marriage is just made up based on her experience with family law. CCZ is a Harvard Law School graduate who ditched her legal career in 2022 to become a writer. But that doesn't mean her TikTok isn't full of interesting discussions about the U.S. justice system. Z responded to an inquiry from a follower who wanted to pick her brain about the institution of marriage. Z shared her, quote, biggest takeaway was that marriage was just an illusion. While it has a history with religion, politics, and economics, those reasons have little bearing for most people these days. Putting that aside, in the modern era, why get married, Z said, especially if you don't have some like religious attachment to the institution of marriage. She explained that the government wants people to get married to create, quote, private social welfare networks. This forces your family to be responsible for you instead of the government. But when you put that cynicism aside, it creates the opportunity to define marriage however you want. Now, and the article continues. Of course, I mean, we could sit here and pick this thing apart by nearly every single sentence. But what the world calls marriage is not what God calls marriage. Marriage, a godly, biblical marriage, is a great thing. It's commanded by God. It's between a man and a woman, governed exclusively by the laws of God. And other men with their, quote, laws and statutes and social welfare networks are an abomination. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to through the years that have told me that they went to, quote, church to get, quote, married, and the pastor would not perform the ceremony until they produced a state marriage license. Okay, the scripture commands for God's people not to be entangled with the affairs of life. And the, quote, churchmen are the ones who demand that those wanting to get married entangle themselves with one of the greatest, longest-reaching, strongest entanglements that there is in the world. I went to a Catholic website to find out what was required in order to get married in the Catholic Church. And let me say this for just a minute. There are still people out there who are confused as to why I reference the Catholics. Why I referenced the Jews. I don't reference them authoritatively. I reference them so that we know where a lot of this garbage comes from. For instance, I received criticism because I talked about the Jews and their mikvahs. Okay, I talked about the Jews and their mikvahs because it's Jews who say that conversion requires full body immersion in water in a mikvah. And what I'm saying is, if you believe in full body immersion in water, you believe the same thing the Jew does. Jews demand full body immersion in water in order to be, quote, saved. If you believe in, quote, water baptism, you believe the same thing a Jew does. If you believe in full body water immersion for salvation, you believe the same thing a Mormon does. If you believe that physical water is a required element for salvation, you believe the same thing the Catholics believe. I'm trying to wake people up. People in the, quote, identity movement claim to know the Jews are imposters, they're antichrists, but a lot of, quote, identity type people believe the same thing the Jews believe. The, quote, Church of Christ teaches the Jews religion. The, quote, Church of Christ teaches the same thing the Mormons teach. I don't reference these things as if they're teaching truth. I'm condemning their beliefs and condemning those that condemn them, but preach the exact same things they do. That's why I talk about the Jews, the Catholics, the Mormons, etc. All right, from the Catholic website, in reference to marriage, there's a section here called Marriage License. even though your wedding is primarily a sacramental wedding, it is still necessary to have a civil marriage license. You can obtain your marriage license by going to the county's clerk office and presenting proof of your identity, social security number, and the application fee. Many states have a waiting period, so you might not get it the same day you apply. Make sure you check your state requirements during the wedding planning process to avoid additional stress during wedding week, end quote. Listen to this article from another, quote, church man. Can Christians get married in God's eyes without government registration? What makes a marriage official according to God? I was recently asked if Christians can get married in the eyes of God without government registration. If so, should they or shouldn't they? Okay, end quote. Now, right off the bat, I find this question very interesting. Here's what this tells me. Whoever asked that question was probably seeking the government of God. And yes, I've said it many times before, there are people, even in, quote, church, that are seeking the government of God. They might know that something just isn't right, and they're seeking to find truth and righteousness. But what happens? They go to the, quote, pastor and ask for help. And instead of leading them to the government of God and to salvation, the, quote, pastor, who is a wolf in sheep's clothing, gives the appearance or a facade of giving tribute to the God of the Bible. But as you'll see in this article, instead, he leads the seeker right straight to hell. Continuing, I think the obvious and immediate answer is yes. Of course Christians can get married in the eyes of God without government registration. They've been doing that for thousands of years. In fact, Adam and Eve obviously did not have a government to sanction their marriage. Instead, in the eyes of God, they were married. End quote. That is pure lip service. There's a feeble attempt at trying to bring the God of the Bible into his answer for the psychologically deceptive purpose of making his answer credible. Now he goes on. Even today, my wife and I live in the United States, and when we got married, our pastor married us. I would argue that in the eyes of God, that's when my wife and I were actually married, end quote. Well, that's funny. I mean, that's not what makes the marriage in the eyes of God. Celebrations, ceremonies, feasts, gatherings, those are all great as they provide witnesses to the vows and the commitments, but that is not what makes the marriage, and we all should know that. Okay, there are examples from the Bible where there is no celebration, no ceremony, no feast, and yet those were absolutely marriages in the eyes of God. The ceremony with a, quote, pastor does not make you married in the eyes of God. Okay, continuing, then at a later time, we filled out the appropriate government forms, the marriage license, and got that to be part of the government-sanctioned marriage. So yes, Christians can get married without government registration, and in the eyes of God, they are actually married. God does not need a government registration to recognize a marriage, end quote. True. In fact, God actually forbids little g, quote, government registration if we understand the word of God. Government registration of a marriage is adultery. It's an abomination. And for those of you older people who have one of these documents, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I believe you should get rid of it. Okay, whether or not you should actually file for a divorce with the state, now that's what I've said in the past. And of course, you're not divorcing each other, you're divorcing the state. And I'll assure you that our brother who's going through great trials right now wishes that he would have had this information 30 plus years ago. Okay, now I've learned some things recently of something that might be better than going through the divorce process. And since all their states have no-fault divorces, I think it wouldn't hardly be any big deal to do that. But there might be a better way to do it. Okay, and that's with a public notice that you made a mistake and possibly then with a document that revokes the marriage license. My friend Daniel has been doing some great work in this area, and I think I will actually bring him on my hour to talk about it one of these days soon. But I know for a fact that in dealing with the state, I mean, they recognize a statement that says, I made a mistake and want to correct it. And that may be a way of getting rid of that ungodly, abominable marriage license. But I would say that very few people know what a horrible mistake it is to get a marriage license from the state. But God's people should know it. Quote, preachers should absolutely know it. Godly preachers, that is. Okay, the churchman continues after saying, God does not need government registration to recognize a marriage. And let me say this before I go on. I mean, does that statement not just sound really bad to you? I mean, it does to me. God does not need government registration to recognize a marriage. Since when does God need anything from a man? Okay, that statement just sounds so condescending to me. Okay, the man may not have meant it that way, probably didn't, but it's just that when your foundation is so unbiblical, I mean, it's going to get exposed. So he says, God does not need government registration to recognize a marriage. Then he says, however. Okay, and we've talked about this little word, however, a lot. We hear it a lot in the English language. And for the most part, it means forget about what I just said. Here's what I really want to say. And this instance is no different. However, Christians cannot get married in the eyes of the government without getting a marriage license. The reason why they might want to get married in the eyes of the government is because when you get married by the government standards, you get all the protections, benefits, and privileges that come with state-sanctioned matrimony. Well, friends, if we have one thimble of Bible knowledge in us, a statement like this should be horrifying to a follower of Christ. Get married by government standards? Are you kidding? Are you serious? Government standards? This churchman's government sanctions marriage between two men, between two women, between two theys. I mean, how in today's world can someone who claims to be a teacher of the Word of God, a spokesman for God, make such an outlandish, ridiculous, foolish statement? There's something else that's a dead giveaway of a total lack of understanding of the Bible. Matrimony? Okay, if a man understands the Bible, he would never use the word matrimony. Okay, patrimony is far more biblical, though I don't recommend using either of those words. Neither one of them are in the Bible. And then add protections, benefits, and privileges to the statement. Okay, those are the exact words that came from the sodomites when they demanded, quote, marriage from the state. We demand equal protection, benefits, and privileges. Okay, how these churchmen cannot even stumble over their own words is just amazing to me. They're blind, dumb dogs that cannot bark. That's what the prophet Isaiah had to say about people like this. Then in heaping more praise onto his, quote, government, he says this. Of course, those are intended to help take care of and to promote and nurture families that are formed when people get together and get married. That's why I would recommend for Christians to not only get married in the eyes of God, but also to go to the next step and get married in the eyes of the government and to get the marriage license. That way, they can participate with the government and get those protections and privileges that come with state-sanctioned matrimony. End quote. I've said this before, and I will say without knowing for sure that it's happened. But I'll guarantee you that it has happened. Two young church people, a young man and a young woman, go down to the county clerk's office to get their marriage license because the preacher told them to. And standing right in front of them or right behind them in the exact same line is a couple of queers standing in the same line to get a, quote, marriage license. And sure, they might look at each other and maybe even make a quiet comment to each other. Or, I mean, knowing the way today's, quote, church is, they might even offer their heartfelt congratulations to the two sodomites on their impending, quote, marriage. But when this happens, if the young man and the young woman fail to see that they're standing in a line of abomination, and they do not turn around and walk away from that line and what it stands for, I'll just say it. There is no possible way that those two people are true followers of Jesus Christ. To stand there in the same line with the sodomites, the freaks and perverts, in order to, quote, go the next step and get married in the eyes of the government and to get the marriage license. To fail to see what they're doing is walking in darkness, and followers of Jesus Christ are in the light. If we say we're in the light and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The article continues, I hope you recognize that the government is a God-given institution. God has given humanity three institutions to help it flourish and to protect it. God has given us the church, God has given us the family, and God has given us the government. End quote. Two lies and one truth. God has not given man's little g, quote, government to do anything. The scriptures say that Jesus Christ put down all rule and all authority and all power, and he took it all back so that there is only one potentate, only one king, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And he reigns supreme with his Father and demands that every man, woman, boy, and girl renounce the little g, quote, governments of the world and live exclusively as citizens of his government. Church? Really? God ordained? Maybe I should preach a message on that subject at some time. He continues, so the government is a God-given institution that is intended to help human beings flourish, to protect innocent people, and to punish evildoers. That's why when governments fail to do their job or they become corrupt, evil thrives and human beings don't flourish. End quote. Really? Okay, that's brilliant. Do these guys even read what they say? I mean, what world do they live in? Yeah, I know a Christian brother right now, right this minute, who 30 plus years ago went and got a stinking marriage license because a so-called, quote, preacher told him to. And today his life is being totally destroyed by a woman who has openly, brazenly committed adultery in every form it can be committed. And because the state is the controlling interest in that contract, the state is doing all it can to crush the man. Their government protects the innocent and punishes the evil? I mean, what world do these churchmen live in? In a godly biblical marriage, a woman wouldn't dare commit adultery. She wouldn't dare steal from the marriage and turn the children against their father. She'd be put out on her behind so fast it'd make her head spin. And she'd have nothing. And the community would be supporting the man, would be protecting the innocent and making sure the adulteress was the one being punished. The father would have his children, and the community would make sure the children were protected from their wicked mother until she repented of her sin and got right with God. And vice versa as well. If a man was the one dishonoring God in the marriage, he'd be out on the street. He'd be punished for his wickedness. But in this hypothetical situation that I'm talking about this morning, it's a case of the woman doing wickedly, but being protected by the state. Not only being protected by the state, but then using the state to crush the man. And this because a, quote, Baptist preacher demanded a marriage license over 30 years ago so the marriage would be recognized by the state. Oh yeah, it's recognized all right. You better believe that. It's the controlling beast in the marriage, and it rules the marriage by its laws and its policies, and they are not of God. Churchman continues with his lunacy. Absolute moron. Notice, because the government is a God-given institution, it's appropriate for us to participate in this government-sanctioned matrimony and to get the privileges and benefits that come with that. There's nothing wrong with doing that so long as the government has not gone completely awry and is horrifically evil. Again, what world does this man live in? Okay, the article is talking about marriage. Marriage. Just talk about that subject and that one alone. On the subject of marriage, has the, quote, government gone completely awry and horrifically evil? Okay, are churchmen like this one just total and complete idiots? You know, I saw a video this week where a Baptist, quote, church in Waco, Texas, a Baptist, quote, church, had a service dedicated to celebrating Brittany Grimes' return to the U.S. Well, thankfully, the video was a complete joke as there were only about 20 people that showed up. I think Grimes itself didn't even show up. What an absolute laughingstock these churchmen are. And this one continues, and thankfully, we're at the last paragraph. then maybe you could argue that you don't want to participate with everything government does. Imagine that. But at least in our country at this point, there's no reason why we can't, as Christians, participate in getting married in the eyes of the government with a marriage license. End quote. This whole article is so exposing. It's so obvious right from the beginning that someone is asking him the question because they see a problem with the U.S. quote government. And then he just gives nothing but lip service to God and Christianity and the Bible, but ultimately does all he can do to turn the seeker right back into following man's quote government. I just so wonder what Bible, if any, these people actually read from. It's definitely not the one that I read from. So the brother in my hypothetical situation this morning would do all he could do to warn the young Timothys of our day not to entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. The entanglements of the world are snares. They're traps. They come with promises of protections and benefits and privileges. But most times they will end up as snares and many times lead to death and destruction. All right, let's quickly finish 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're at verse 5. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully, lawful and legal, two entirely different things. Lawful means things that are approved in God's law. Legal means things that are approved in man's quote laws. And there are lots of things that are legal in man's quote laws, but are unlawful in God's laws. And there are lots of things that are lawful in God's laws, but are illegal in man's quote laws. We are to strive only for those things that are lawful. Going to the state for recognition of a marriage is not only unlawful in God's eyes, but it is abominable in God's eyes. As followers of Christ, we're to be concerned only with things lawful and unlawful. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay, why add the seed of David, Paul? Listen, it's because he's not just Jesus, he's Jesus Christ. He's King. He's Lord. He's not just Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ of the seed of David and was raised from the dead. Friends, that's who we're following, Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Do you really think that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, raised from the dead, cares one bit about whether or not man's little g quote government recognizes our marriages or not? It's Jesus Christ of the seed of David who commanded marriage in the first place. And you're then going to follow up his command and go to mere men to be recognized for something he commanded? Yes, Jesus Christ of the seed of David, raised from the dead. But just in case being recognized by you isn't enough, we're going to go to the people who executed you and make sure we have their approval also. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy to go to men to ask for permission or seek approval to do what God commanded us to do. And that goes for a whole lot more than a marriage license. It's for everything we do in life. We need the approval. We need the recognition by none other than Jesus Christ of the seed of David, the one who raised from the dead. Paul believed this. Paul lived this way. That's why he said in verse 9, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Look, I don't know why this is the way it is. I've said I don't believe it has to be this way. But for now, because we live in a world that hates Christ and loves their own, quote, government and demands obedience from everyone to obey their, quote, government, when we live like Christ commands, we're going to suffer trouble. We're going to be called evildoers, even unto jail. That's what the Word of God says. And they can do what they want. And we might have to go through the same things that Paul and so many others did, but we have to see this the same way Paul did. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Friends, this is Christianity. This is the Bible way. No, it's not always great fun. I'll tell you that. I'd much rather just be left alone to follow Christ, but they won't leave us alone. But there are great promises to those who will stay faithful to Christ. Either we believe this and we trust it and we have hope in it, or we can just go on and be in the world. But there are men far greater than I could ever wish to be, who did believe in Jesus Christ. They did believe that Jesus Christ was King of the seed of David, who raised from the dead, and they received salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. They did suffer with him in order to reign with him. And I have to believe that whatever glory was promised to them, the same principles would apply to us. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Let's determine not to have this said about us. No matter what they try to do to us, we will not deny him. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth will lead us to the clear understanding that Jesus is the Christ, that he rose from the dead, that he was of the seed of David, that the government is on his shoulder. The little g, quote, governments of the world operate outside the authority of Christ. The government is on his shoulder. Doesn't mean that the little g, quote, governments of the world are ordained by him to praise evil and punish good. Praising evil and punishing good is a simple, dead giveaway that quote, government is not the government of God. That is the world. It's not Christ. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat us as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul is not talking about some red pitchfork demon-looking creature. The snare of the devil is, among other things, men's little g, quote, governments. Mr. Thayer says, and I'll just tell you, I'm just kind of picking out some of the things that he said because I think they fit the description. But one of these things that he says about Diablos is estranging mankind from God and enticing them to sin. I believe this is exactly what men's little g, quote, governments do. I believe that's what their laws and their statutes and their treaties do. They're designed to force men into living according to their way. And in order to do so, a man has to choose between the ways of men and the ways of God. Cannot serve two masters. That's what Jesus said. You'll love one and hate the other. It can't be both. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Either choose the God of heaven or the gods of the Amorites. That's what Joshua of old realized hundreds of years ago. It's God or men. Make your choice. The same as today. Make your choice. It's God or it's men. Well, we're so much smarter than that today. See, we have a constitution that's based on the Bible and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I get it. And look where it's gotten us. Okay, we aren't in the situation we're in today because men do not follow the, quote, constitution. We're in the situation we're in today because men have followed the constitution. Our laws and our statutes and our treaties shall be the supreme law of the land. Friends, that is people sticking their fist in the face of God and saying about Jesus Christ, the seed of David, raised from the dead, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's what our problem is. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, sadly, our fathers and their fathers sold us a bill of goods that many people fell for. And that was going to the, quote, government for recognition and approval. And then for their protection and benefits and privileges. Paul told Timothy not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Paul warned, and I have to believe his conclusion from verses 25 and 26 were the result of people who did not heed his warning about no entanglements. For failing to understand the principle of not being entangled with the world, the people needed to repent so that they would be recovered out of the snare of the devil, taken captive by his will, and taken captive because some deceiver told them it was perfectly fine to get entangled, to take the protections, the benefits of the so-called privileges that come from the entanglements. John understood entanglements. John knew what would happen by taking protections, benefits, and privileges from the world. Turn to 3 John this morning as we close. We're obviously not going to get back to 1 Peter 3 this morning, but that's okay. I felt like we needed to address entanglements this morning. I mean, look what John said, 3 John verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. Friends, I sure hope you aren't walking in the lie today of the church creation called Christ Mass. The whole thing is a lie. From violating Jeremiah chapter 10, and then the churchmen once again having the unmitigated gall to tell people that it doesn't mean what it so clearly says, to lying on Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ was not born on something called December 25th. That is a lie, and to say that it is and follow people into that lie is following a multitude to do evil. It's wrong. It's sin. We're supposed to walk in truth. John said he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. Santa Claus. I can't believe that people that call themselves Christians would dare let their little children believe that lie. He knows when you've been good or bad. Really? Is he God? Is that what he is? He flies around the entire world in one night, stuffing his fat self down chimneys, bringing presents to everyone. Hey, well, that's just a little harmless white lie. Yeah, maybe, if such a thing exists, but it's lying at the expense of Jesus Christ. It's lying at the expense of making a Satan out to be like God. It's not harmless. It's not just a little white lie. Tell your children the truth. It's no wonder why so many children grow up and lose respect for their parents. Well, they lied to me about Santa Claus. What else did they lie to me about? Are they lying about God? Are they lying about the Bible? Are all this, when they find out that Satan Claus is just a fairy tale, does that mean that everything in the Bible is a fairy tale too? Well, we've lied to them about that. What makes them think they haven't been lied to about the stories in the Bible? I don't know when Jesus was born, but I know it wasn't in the dead of winter during the heathen winter solstice. I know that much. The whole thing is lying on Jesus. It isn't true, and followers of Christ should not be participating in it. The Bible calls bringing a tree into your house and making it stand up and decorating it. The Bible calls it heathen and tells us not to follow the ways of the heathen. There's biblical support for bringing presents to the birth of Christ. They brought presents to Christ, not to each other. And not only that, Jesus is not a little baby anymore. Yeah, I know the world prefers him that way, followed by a crucified, executed criminal. But today he's the all-conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not a baby anymore. Now, you know me. You know how I despise, quote, church and everything about it. But if you can get past all of that and you want a good laugh, go to YouTube and type in Geno Jennings on Christmas. If you know the truth and are walking in the truth concerning this lie called Christ Mass, then you might just get a kick out of watching that video. All right, let's finish 3 John and we'll be done for today. Verse 5, Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the people committed to the teaching the government of God, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that, for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That is also an eternal principle. Just like not entangling ourselves with the affairs of life, so is taking nothing of the Gentiles. The churchman encouraged his listeners to take the protections, the benefits, the privileges from the wicked, ungodly, sodomite-loving, little g, quote, government of the world. And John said that for Christ's sake, they went forth taking nothing from the unbelievers. Friends, this is Bible 101. This is how Christians are supposed to live their lives. If we follow this blueprint, we will receive protections, benefits, privileges from the only one that matters. Learn these principles like Timothy did. They'll keep you out of a world of hurt later on. And that's what they're designed to do. Generations who have been before us made some really, really bad mistakes. Some out of pure ignorance, and some because evil deceivers have lured them into traps and snares because they're ministers of the darkness of this world. Know the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved of God. We don't care about approval from the world. We don't care about taking protections, benefits, and privileges from the world. The reality is they're traps and they're snares, and they're designed to lead us away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus of the seed of David raised from the dead.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Rain. we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again his strength.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.